final in-season, regular season presser of the year. Obviously, we'll have more through bowl prep and into the offseason. We plan to do this show with David ongoing. Not sure what the schedule will look like, but for now, here we are. Not a lot about the Nebraska game in this one, but some good stuff. A good half hour of talk with iColt. As always, a great time. Enjoy the show. Let's have a day. Let's go. Day off yesterday a little bit. We won't be doing the Friday show for anybody that's listening to this final regular season week press review show. More to come. David and I are going to continue to do stuff like this. I think we've struck a little chord here, but here we are. It's Black Friday week. Huskers, Hawkeyes, massive Husker homer called out for being a Husker guy multiple times. I've seen that before.
The amount of people that still kind of, I guess it's not weird for people not to know, but like, I don't hide it. Like, I make a joke about it so often, and I still have a ton of people that write me and they're like, hey, wait, you went to Nebraska? Yeah.
And where are you from? Even,
well, I was born in Sioux City.
Okay.
But I moved around. I lived in Nebraska, lived in Utah for a decade. And then moved back to Nebraska. Yeah, moved back to Nebraska for my senior year of high school, and then went to Nebraska for college.
Where did you graduate from high school from?
Columbus High School.
Okay.
It's about hour 15 away from Lincoln, hour 15 away from Omaha. It's just kind of like not in the middle, but it's just a side. You take one road to go one way, one or the other. The Utah thing. I lived in you there for over 10 years. I lived about 40 minutes from Zion National Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like very, very 2 hours from Vegas.
Really? 2 hours from Vegas.
Yeah. It's insane. Just the polar opposites. There's Las Vegas 2 hours away. Then you go to the Utah border and there's one liquor store and like one bar.
All right. Well, there we go. Some background information from David.
There you go. I didn't know.
And why Nebraska for college? It was just the closest big college.
$100,000 difference.
In between what?
Tuition.
Between Iowa?
I was down to go into Nebraska or Iowa.
Okay.
Actually. But I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. Because I didn't even start sports writing until I was like almost done with my sophomore year in college.
Were you always an Iowa fan?
I grew up following Iowa. Yeah, my parents were diehard Iowa fans.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I told you, I lived in a frat house for 2 years at Nebraska, and that was an interesting little concept when they knew.
That sounds horrible, dude.
Honestly, there's a reason it's only 2 years.
Yeah. What's in the
– tired all the time.
Yeah. What's in the cup today?
Two shots of espresso and black coffee.
Peppermint mocha?
No, not yet. Not yet. Once Thanksgiving's over, I get one a year. I tell myself I do one a year.
Are you a mint? Are you a mint guy?
Yeah, I really like
you
mint.
You are?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know how they add mint to things. Oh,
you know, it is interesting though, and this is probably not giving the most professional story I ever give in my life. I used to love mint, and then that got ruined on my 21st birthday. Because I celebrated it a month later because I had mono on my 21st.
That's fun.
And I found out what Rumpelmann's was, and it's 50%.
I still alcohol. Don't know what that is.
Yeah, I was out with my brother in Lincoln, and we were just playing pool and darts and hanging out, and yeah, I ended up having a few shots of Rumpelmann's, and then I jogged home 4 miles and went to bed.
Oh,
and nice. I hated mint ever since.
Yeah, I think everybody has that story, like the one alcohol flavor or brand that they just can no longer do. Yeah,
thus why I only have peppermint like once a year. I do like.
It, I don't though, even. But I don't even. I don't even drink, and I have that story, like from the one bat, like the worst experience I've ever had. So
everybody's got one.
Yeah. You gotta have one. Well, here we are. It's Wednesday. Kirk was at the podium.
These intros, Tyler, I gotta say, I think we've really mastered these intros.
Yeah. I just want it to be casual, man. Hey, it's a nice family weekend, Thanksgiving. People got time off. Learn a little bit more about David Eichel. You know, humanize him a little bit.
Humanize the Twitter troll or the bot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just think about how many hometown high school heroes are going to be flexing their athletic accolades at the bars tonight. Night before Thanksgiving. Oh, gosh. Small town tradition.
If Coach would have put me in, dude, we would have won state.
Everybody turns into Uncle Rico.
I got a couple nice accolades from high school. You want to hear?
Let's do it.
Caught one pass in high school, just like I did in college. One for one, touchdown in high school.
I was going to ask you that. You knew where I was going with that.
Should have been a touchdown in college. Yeah, one of my bigger regrets is not fighting for more snaps on offense as a running back. We ran the spread, so we ran like 5 or 10 times a game.
Yeah.
But, and that's probably why I didn't really see it as important. But we ran a little like play action, slipped me out into the flat. It was against Des Moines North, so it wasn't impressive at all. But caught the tutter.
That's crazy, though, because not a lot of teams run the spread in high school.
Oh, we ran the spread. Yeah, well, you go back. If you look up all-time, you look up all-time Marshalltown High School or just all-time Iowa football stats, all classes. And my quarterback, who started junior, senior year, is top 5, top 10 on every all-time Iowa passing statistic there is. Threw for just under 4,000 yards 2 seasons in a row. 567 yards in his best game ever. We ran the spread. It was fun. Last stat, second all time in total tackles at Marshalltown, first in tackles per game, 325 in my career. How about that, huh?
I think that's more than Jay Higgins has.
I got a lot of tackles.
You know what? I'm looking this up now.
You can't. Please don't compare it, because tackling guys from Ohio State and Michigan and Minnesota is not the same as tackling guys from Waukee and Fort Dodge and Ames.
He's gonna pass you in the season finale. He's at 323 right now.
Oh, damn it! That's so sad. They get 12, 13 game schedules, you know.
Jay Higgins, by the way, ridiculous. He's not a Buckeyes finalist. I've come to the opinion
unbelievable
that all those awards are fraudulent.
Yeah.
And this is gonna probably cost me a spot on the committee in the future.
Please, you don't want it anyway.
Well, here's my other thing. I know I didn't mean to go on a rant this early.
No, go for it.
So I saw he wasn't a finalist. I said, okay, maybe Iowa's record cost him. Because we know with these elite awards, right? Yep. Ultimately, it has to translate to team success, fair or not fair. They have a guy from UCLA on there. They have a guy from Oklahoma on there. Oh, Jay Higgins has over 100 tackles, a forced fumble. He has 4 interceptions this season. 2 forced fumbles. No other linebacker in the country has done that. He was robbed last year. He was robbed this year. Jay Higgins, so classy as ever.
His response to the question about that was so much more mature than I could have ever produced as a college athlete. He's like, you know, if I played for that committee, I'd probably be pretty broken up right now. But I play for my mom and dad and my girlfriend and the people that care. I was like, wow, dude, I would have literally got up there and said, fraudulent award, fuck everyone. Torrey Taylor, I loved when Keith got snubbed.
Torrey was great about
vocal
that.
About it, like, because he doesn't care, he has nothing to lose. I
loved Torrey because he just didn't give a shit, and he would just like tell you how he really thought all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he was so He was as disconnected from actual, like the actual, it, not in a bad way, like, but just growing up in Australia, it like Dakin is as well. Like Dakin had never played a football game until his first college football game for, like, they're so disconnected in a way that an American kid can never be.
Yeah.
They never, you know, they don't grow up watching the game. They don't grow up playing the game. They don't really grow up with anybody else that was a hometown guy that went on and played ahead of, like, they just don't have that same connection. And so the ecosystem of, like, you know, doing an interview in college, you're like, they don't care what they say about, like, there's just no, there's not as much weight to it for them. And so they can openly talk freely. It's pretty great. I don't know. I saw Dion, you know, pissed about Travis Hunter not being a finalist for the Thorpe, and like these awards, man, they just, I don't have, I mean, I don't, not many people probably have a true sense of like how legitimate they are. If you're on one of these committees, it would be interesting to hear somebody talk about it, because every year there's some really questionable decisions that get made.
I'm of the opinion the only reason why Jay Higgins did not win the Butkus last year is because Jack Campbell won it the year prior.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I'm going down. And the other part is, and this is where I don't want to attack the committee. If you want to nominate those five finalists for this year over Jay Higgins, I'm not going to sit here and flame you on it, but I want you to explain why these five players one by one are more fitting to the standard of which the award is set.
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing? And the other thing is the Travis Hunter. I didn't blame Dion for getting pissed, because quite frankly, I was a little bit surprised Travis Hunter got in the Biletnikoff finals and not the Jim Thorpe. I thought if he was going to make one of those, it's the Jim Thorpe. And look, he's going to win the Heisman. We all know that, whatever. Not every single award has to go to Travis Hunter. And I'm not in a participation award industry. I'm super anti-participation award. I think that's all bullshit. But Travis Hunter is not better individually at all these things than every other player in college football. That's just not true.
I know. It's way, anyway. Awards are dumb. And
once Keith Duncan lost, I checked out on.
Yeah, I
was stunned by that.
I honestly really did too. Like we talked about it and made it a big thing because it was our guy who got snubbed, and like he legitimately was in any metric, any eye test, any measure that year, he was the best kicker in the country, and he didn't win the award. And after that, I really haven't cared too much. Like
the dude who beat him clanked two field goals
in the SEC championship.
In the SEC championship,
unreal.
And look, now to be fair, he's in the NFL. He's not doing too bad. But
his year wasn't better than NFL. No,
not based on what you did the year. And that's why
his year wasn't better than Keith. And he also kicks in the SEC where it's nice weather all the time. And they're in that SEC championship game, they're in a dome. Like these people just don't consider the things that matter. Anyway, 12, 13 minutes in here. I'm not going to make this a long one today. It is, you know, we are one day out from Thanksgiving. We recorded a nice long podcast. This one's going to come out first, but you guys will essentially get two podcasts at once here when these drop. We recorded with Jeremiah Searles last night, little Black Friday preview. Everyone will enjoy that one. He is a treat every time he comes on the show. It was a great pod to record, and it was always a fun time. So you get the press review, you get the preview episode, and then you guys can ride into the weekend. That's your content. We won't go too long here today. It wasn't a crazy press conference from Coach Ferentz. There wasn't, you know, to be quite honest, there wasn't a whole lot talked about as far as this matchup. And there was other important, fun questions. A lot of it was sort of the end of the year stuff. What does the senior class meant? I don't know if it was you or somebody else. Maybe it was Doctorman asked about the roster limits and how that's going to be affected here coming soon. They have to cut down. Talked about it on the Searles podcast, how that's going to be a big, probably an episode or two.
Kirk's worth of pissed. He bit his tongue really well while still articulating his point, but you could tell how pissed he is. And to be honest, I think he makes a great point, because this is the type of stuff that helps Iowa compete against some of these bigger schools, is because you get those crazy stories. Because quite frankly, look, I'm not well-versed across every school's walk-on history, Nebraska obviously has a very strong walk-on.
Yeah.
Okay, as much as people probably don't want to say it, Nebraska has a very well-connected walk-on unit.
Iowa and Nebraska, these two teams playing Friday could be hurt more than anybody. These two teams specifically might be 1-2 as far as who gets hurt the worst in them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Nebraska, as far as NIL, is still in a little bit better of a position.
They are.
And they finally got the bowl weight lifted off their shoulders. Like, for perspective, Tyler, last time they were bowl eligible, I was a sophomore. The last time they were bowl eligible, I was in my first year of covering college sports ever.
Yeah.
I was in a writing class in college, okay? The storming the field thing, I hope you gave Searles a bit of crap about that.
We forgot to bring that up, actually. Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Kirk's pissed about it, and he's right, because if you look at how many great stories don't we see, we don't probably see a Jack Kerner. We don't see a Dallas Clark. And that's one of the craziest things to think about. Like, you're not seeing the best tight end in college football. You're not seeing a multi-time All-Pro Hall of Famer talent. Maybe his career ends there. He was a fourth-string outside linebacker. They flipped him into tight end. Like, we're not seeing all these spectacular stories. And, you know, I feel bad for Kirk from this standpoint. He's going to be heartbroken when he has to cut these kids.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, there's kids that probably are on the fringe, and they're going to have to make cuts. And it sucks for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I just don't see – the more I think about it, and I really haven't considered – this came out, and we've known about this pretty much all year. I haven't really considered it yet just because it hasn't been relevant yet. And maybe that's how everybody else is sort of processing it as well. At some point, the rubber meets the road, and – you're going to have to, as the organizations, as the colleges, you're actually going to have to act on that. I don't know when the date is that you have to be down to 105 or whatever, but I assume it's when you start the spring semester.
I think it is. I need to double check that. So don't take it verbatim, but with signing day next Wednesday, by the way,
you
talk about another signing day presser. I mean, we got that with the portal opening up in 2 weeks. Like, I'll be honest, Tyler, like, I have not really looked into that. And that just shows how much crazy shit's going on right now with college athletics. And quite frankly, I thought Kirk expressed a lot of frustration about what's currently happening.
Yeah, and I don't know. And he did mention, like, how he does think NIL is and the craziness of the portal is sort of maybe going to be reined in a little bit. But at the same time, there's just so many issues. Like, everything is broken right now. And yeah. I don't know. Like, it's really tough and it's certainly situational, team to team. It's going to be different. It is a little bit better, like maybe by a couple or a handful of guys this year. The fact that the 105 rule goes into effect, because you do have maybe a slight excess of players in your exiting class due to the COVID years. So, like, I think Iowa, I think KF mentioned it, there's 22 or 23 guys, whatever. You know, I only graduated, and this was with the addition of Miles Taylor and Ben Neiman in our class because they played their freshman year. I think we only had 16 or 17 guys. And so they have an extra 6 guys on top of that that will open up spots on their current roster. But nonetheless, and if you manage that correctly with who you bring in as far as this new signing class, maybe you can make it hurt a little bit less, but still, there's going to be 10, 12, 15 guys that you have to look in the eye and say, hey, there's not room. And
yeah, and even go to Matt Rule's press conference. I know Iowa fans aren't going to like me saying this. I think there's a lot of Iowa fans that really like Matt Rule, and they don't like that they like Matt Rule because, it's the rivalry. But like Matt Rule basically came out and said, yeah, I think he's a really good guy. I think he's the first good, like, the right coach for that program at this time, based on where they've been. I think he understands the longevity and the process of everything. But you need to think about this. Like, he said this week, they're going to have 40, 50 guys in the transfer portal. And people are like, well, has he lost the locker room or whatever? And I wanted to be like, no, he hasn't, guys. This is college athletics, especially when you take into account the 105 limit, because Nebraska goes about 135, 140 deep. That's the way they've always been. That's just the way they've always been. They love keeping the in-state walk-on kids. They've made it a priority. It's a proud historical part of what makes Nebraska, Nebraska. That's not a sign of the culture. And that's why, like, when we've talked about this maybe a little bit, but there were people before last week saying, oh, has Kirk lost the locker room? No, there's certain issues I think that are going on. But if you think Kirk's lost the locker room, no, I think Kirk was more perplexed as to why the season didn't work out the way everybody thought it would. But people are still rallying behind Kirk Ferentz. And ultimately, they're rallying behind Jackson Stratton because Brendan Sullivan and McNamara are both playing. And Jackson Stratton, I got to tell you, Tyler, he's got as much moxie and confidence from a walk-on as I've seen in a long time. And it's not cocky. He just seems like a guy that if he's going to succeed at the position, he has the attitude you have to have. Like, we were asking him about the process, how Iowa reached out, and you said, oh, I know I can play at this level. And then I asked him, yeah, this is when it flipped for me. When I'm like, okay, like this dude is either one, he's going to have a really hard reality check, which I don't think is going to be the case, or two, like he's kind of it. And I asked him if he would have any advice for himself, what he would tell himself like back when he got to campus. And he just said, you know, I think I've done things the right way. I wouldn't change anything. He said, I wouldn't even tell him anything. I got this. I know it. And I sat back and said, okay.
We talked about
like,
it.
Like, I think more in like an impressed way, like, okay, there you go.
Yeah, I think he has – I don't think Sullivan did – Sullivan's exciting because he can run, provides a little bit of that like, oh, what's he going to do, you know, factor, yeah. Which isn't exactly – it's not necessarily what you're looking for in a quarterback, but it is exciting from a fan standpoint. I think Stratton, especially depending on what happens on Friday – has done enough, shown enough to be just as much of an option to consider as they head into spring ball. Cade's career ends at Iowa. They now have Stratton and Sullivan, who they feel okay about, I would say, with both of them. I say as a general clarifier, I'd say they feel okay about those two guys. I don't think Friday is going to change that. I think they have to go to the portal. That's another discussion that is going to be had as far as people like us, content on the outside and on the inside. But you know, we heard Tim Lester a couple weeks ago say it's every position every year. You have to look at them. And I think with those two guys and whoever they happen to find as their guy in the portal, the best option they can get, I think it's going to be a legitimate three-way battle. I really do. That's how I see it going into spring. Or maybe a two-way battle in the spring, and then they bring somebody in the fall, and that isn't even considering the young guys on the roster. Probably not Marco, but guys that are underneath him.
I'll tell you this: I think first of all, Jackson Stratton has the best arm of any quarterback in the room.
Can sling it.
Like that dude can sling it. Like he could have made the Hail Mary throw against Iowa State.
I think Tim Lester said that. I think he's got the best arm of all the quarterbacks.
I thought two of the three deeper passes. By the way, Tim Lester, I wrote this in my column post-game, Tyler. That was one of his best game plans at Iowa, like unquestionably.
Yeah, I think Iowa controlled
the clock. They controlled the clock. They ran the football, and the throws that Jackson Stratton made early, pitch and catch, wide-open concepts just to see passes get completed.
Yep.
Built some confidence in the walk-on. Spot on, spectacular. Kudos to the offensive line. I hope they're a Joe Moore finalist team. I don't think they will be. I really hope so. I think that'd be a really cool story for how far they've come.
It would.
And again, this is with all due respect to Jackson Stratton, and maybe I'm speculating here. I will not be surprised if Tim Lester cleans out the quarterback room and brings in three or four new quarterbacks.
That would be something.
I think Sullivan deserves a shot in the spring to say, hey, can he make the strides we need him to make to be the guy? I think they're going to bring in at least one quarterback via transfer portal. There's two quarterbacks coming in summer. Remember, Pat Fitzgerald's son is a preferred walk-on, three-star preferred walk-on, really, really good get. You have Jimmy Sullivan they're bringing in as well. I think we could see three or four new quarterbacks on this roster next season. It will not surprise me. So I think that's something to be a little bit excited about, too. But I tell you, two of the three long throws that Jackson Stratton made, I thought should have been caught. I thought they were great throws. He did miss Jarriott Bowie on the right sideline. Bowie had a great step on him. Just overthrew. I think the wind was with him a little bit, too. So I'm trying not to – I don't think you can really get too mad at him about that. With that other one, I think he was trying to hit Jacob Gill on that same drive on the other side of the field across the middle. I personally think the ball should have been caught. I thought it was a good throw. And on the other end zone, when they were going the other way, I think that was on – maybe it was on Iowa's first drive. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was probably one of the field goals. But Jacob Gill just barely missed it as well, and he probably should have caught that. But there were a couple of throws where I'm like, dude, okay, like he's got more zip to it. I think his footwork still needs to get there a little bit. But I'll tell you, based on what we heard from Tim Lester as far as what he likes in quarterbacks, this might be a hot take, Tyler, but Jackson Stratton fits the bill more than any other quarterback on this roster right now.
I continue to think that as well. I think there's a legitimate chance that a year from now we could have Jackson Stratton as our starting quarterback, and no one will remember him as the walk-on from Colorado State. He'll be put on scholarship, and he'll just be the guy. He'll just be Jackson Stratton. Yeah. And assuming that's the case, it means he probably at that point would have done some pretty legitimate things, led the team through an entire season. Again, talking a year from right now, he could just be the guy for the next couple years. But I do agree with you. I think you're in a
this
spot.
This game where dictates how many reps he gets in bowl practice and in the spring. Like, if he wants to prove that he can be a contributor and a contender, at least for a depth chart in the future, he's got to get it done this weekend. And that's obviously one of the big storylines.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be freezing ass cold. This is one of those you get to the end of the season and I'm just like, I am happy I don't play anymore. Like, if there's one reason that it's good that I didn't end up in the NFL, is because their seasons go into January.
Yeah.
And they play, you know, sometimes you're in Miami or Dallas or wherever, you're in a dome, but also sometimes you're in
Buffalo. New York
or Buffalo or Green Bay. And you're like, holy shit, it's cold. And snapping in the cold was impossible. And we're going to be pretty damn close this Friday with wind chill in the teens.
It could be the coldest game in Kinnick Stadium history. I don't know if you've heard that yet.
I did see that. And I was a part of that Michigan game in 2013.
Yep.
And I was a part of this wasn't a Kinnick game, but I was a part of the Nebraska game in 2015.
Yeah.
Both just absolute bone chilling, like constant. Every second you were there, you're just fighting the cold to like not die.
I was at that game in 2015 in the stands.
Brutal.
For that one. I was watching it with my mom, and dude, that was.
I want to make a statement too, because otherwise it was for nothing. I played that game in no sleeves. I played it in the same clothes that I would have worn. It was the exact same way I got dressed for the game on September 1st that year when it was 90. I'm a hard ass. Okay. I'm tough.
Real football guy.
Now, did I rub a half inch layer of Vaseline all over my arms? Yes. Did that work? No.
No.
It was still freezing ass cold. But yeah, we're going to be close. So this game is not only like, you know, there's a lot of tests going on here. Stratton, you know, you got a position where Nebraska has made a bowl game, but what's the motivation here? Do they play more? Searles, as a spoiler, if you haven't listened to that one, he seems to think they might play more free because they got the monkey off their back. I tend to think, hey, now that you've made the bowl game, is there a slight dip in motivation because you've got the thing? Is six or seven wins a whole lot different? Maybe not. Who knows? But it's going to be a field goal game. It's going to be a close game like it always is. And it's going to be in 20 degree weather. So buckle up.
I think they are going to be motivated. And I think I understand where you're coming from. I think I was obviously motivated because it's senior night.
Yeah.
It's a night game. Great class. As disappointing as this season was, it's a tremendous class. A lot of all-time Hawkeyes. Nick Jackson, I think, belongs in that category. Like, Nick Jackson, you talk about an Iowa guy to the T, like, that's Nick Jackson. Yeah, only been here 2 years. Great. But, like, he's an Iowa guy. I think that Nebraska is going to be really motivated. Number one, they hate Iowa. Like they absolutely despise.
That's true.
Him. Two, they have Dana Holgorsen now, offensive coordinator. It did Wild just card. Make that change because there was a real sense of frustration from, you know, I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth here, but there was a real frustration about the direction of that offense from Raiola's camp.
Yeah.
Because, look, don't let Dylan Raiola's touchdown interception ratio fool you. The dude's footwork's horrific. And the Patrick Mahomes cosplay is interesting. Not going to rag on college. I'll call it interesting.
To put it nicely.
Dude can sling it.
Yeah, he can sling
it. He's got one of the best deep balls in college football. Like, the placement he has on some of these passes are ridiculous, Tyler. Yeah. Like, even when he goes through struggles, like, the dude can throw. Really hope he kind of gets his own aura in the next couple of years. But, again, that's just the me thing, I guess. And I think a lot of people's thing. Dude's a talent. No question about it. I am interested to know if he's playing any real cold games because, you know, he's from Georgia. He's from down south. Obviously, he's got family and his family's names in the stadium. So it's not like they're unfamiliar with Nebraska, but
sure,
it'll be interesting. I think they're going to be very motivated. I think Matt Rhule has a great deal of respect for Kirk. And quite frankly, I think it's reciprocated from Kirk. I think Kirk really likes Matt Rhule. Again, which is a very odd dynamic with this sort of rivalry, but like they're very complimentary toward one another because people remember Brian Ferentz like visited Nebraska's practice in the offseason, in the spring, right? Like
I remember that.
you can't fake any of that. So I think they're going to be motivated. I really am excited for the Holgorsen-Phil Parker battle. I thought Holgorsen had a great quote yesterday when he talked about, I've coached against him in the 2001 Alamo Bowl, same staff. They do the same things. It's Eagles. Like, it's basically compelling. It's just not something you ever see anymore.
Yeah. Should be an exciting one on Black Friday. Lastly, Hawkeye women are ranked finally. 6-0. Tomorrow, good, Rhode Island tomorrow, BYU Friday, Tennessee after that, and then the Cy-Hawk matchup. So they've been fun. The
women
to watch.
Are good, dude.
They're good. Like, they're good.
They're really good.
Stremlo, elite.
People love her so much already. Like, that freshman class is like taking over the fandom too. Obviously, Lucy too. Like,
I just looked today. The number one UCLA Bruins come to town in middle late February, and ticket right now on Ticketmaster is only like $170.
Yeah, and that's crazy. Still, like, think about that. You like 3 years ago, you could have gotten season tickets for that price.
I know.
USC also. USC, UCLA both come to Iowa. Iowa does not go to LA this year.
Yeah, which is probably good this year.
Yeah, they could be good. But, yeah, I'll tell you what, UCLA, man, I thought they'd compete with South Carolina. I don't know if you pay attention to that. They smacked them.
Yeah.
They 55-24'd them.
I can't wait to watch the women's tournament this year. I'm so excited. And I could not care less about the men's.
Like the direction basketball in general is moving. Like, obviously there's still a thirst in a big market for men's basketball, but just to see the women's game kind of surging now is really interesting. And the best part about it, I think, for Iowa people, it all started in the state.
Yeah.
It had been due for an explosion, but it all started in the state. I do think there's one really important thing from Kirk that I think we need to mention.
Okay.
And it's, you know, for as much as people say I'm critical of KF, I have my own criticisms of him. You and I have had plenty of back and forth about it. The one thing I will say, and this is obviously my opinion, I feel like I've always been fair to Kirk. I've criticized when I feel is warranted. I will defend Kirk. But that answer when he was asked about the Children's Hospital reminds people exactly why he's not just a football coach. He's an ambassador for the state.
Yeah.
Like, it's X's and O's when it's on the football field. There's certain things I'm sure he has regrets about. There's certain things I've criticized him. And this is where I've always come down to when I talk about players and I talk about coaches. It's not personal. It's professional. Because personally, I don't have a bad word to say about Kirk Ferentz.
He's I think, and again, biased guy here. I don't know how you watch that and if you're in tune with how other coaches get up and talk in press conferences or answer questions and you think, yeah, we need to get rid of this guy. And I understand it. It has nothing to do with the football side of things. I don't care. Yep. I don't care. Like, keep him until it's time. Like, I don't know. That's as far as the discussion goes for me. I still think our conversation from last week, I think it's a 1 or 2 year thing right now. But
I do too. But and here's why I really hope, regardless if they hire internally or externally, I really, really hope they still put the same emphasis on the kid to captain program and some of the outreach that they do. Because I think it's such a unique, it's such a really cool thing about Iowa.
I think they will.
And as much controversy or storylines or whatever else when it comes to KF, he always makes time to acknowledge the kid captain, talk about their story. Now, I want to say they won't just give him the time of day. He sits there and has a cup of coffee for an hour with them.
Yeah.
It's not He's the best thing. It's very important to him. So, again, for as many people think as I hate Kirk Ferentz, according to a lot of people, I don't. And
I'm glad we settled that right here.
I'm happy that I saw it was a really cool moment. Kirk broke a little bit. I thought he was going to go full on waterworks.
Yeah.
I held it. He was very, very close, though.
He held it. He's the GOAT. David Eicholt, KF Press Review Show, last of the regular season, but more to come. We'll see what that schedule looks like moving forward. Thank you guys for being here. Go right over. I'm literally releasing these at the same time. Go right over. Put the next one in your queue. Load up that Searles podcast. It's another 84 minutes. 84 minutes of Black Friday Husker versus Hawkeye goodness. Thanks for
being here. What more could he
want? Nothing else. That's it. We'll see you guys later. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.